morning, and thank you, everyone, for joining us here this morning for the Olympic nomination announcements for first cross-country skiing, and then we'll follow that up on the same call with Nordic Combined. Before we start that part of the call, just wanted to recap some of our announcements earlier this week. As most of you know, we have announced our freestyle team and much of our snowboarding team nominations. I think so far to date, we have nominated 43 athletes to the Olympic team. We will make more nominations on this call here today. We will also have ski jumping, both men and women. That is scheduled for 3 p.m. Eastern time this afternoon. We will be actually holding a press conference with the women's athletes here at the Utah Olympic Park in Park City. For those of you who are not here, you will be able to watch it live on KSL.com, the NBC affiliate out of Salt Lake City, which is carrying it live today from the Utah Olympic Park. Again, that's beginning at 3 p.m. Also, looking ahead to this weekend, and these times are fairly fixed right now, the snowboard cross announcement for snowboarding will take place at noon Eastern time on Saturday, this same number, and we'll get an updated advisory out to you on that. And then alpine skiing, we will get you the time on that for Sunday, but that will be sometime around midday on Sunday. So with that, it's my pleasure to introduce our press officer for Nordic Skiing. As she did in Vancouver, she'll be responsible for cross-country, Nordic Combined, and ski jumping in Sochi, and she'll conduct our call today. So I'd like to welcome Margot Christensen.
Okay, thanks, Tom. And thanks to media for being on the call today. As noted, I will represent the three Nordic sports in Sochi, including ski jumping, Nordic Combined, and cross country. I do arrive in Sochi on February 4th, and I'll be on site throughout the duration of the games, so please feel free to use me as a resource there. So before we get to the cross country nominations, I do want to note that immediately following the question portion, we will shift gears to Nordic Combined, as Tom mentioned, and we'll learn those nominations, so do stay on the line there. Additionally, a press announcement is now available with the nominations that you're about to hear so that you have a copy of those. I would now like to introduce our head cross-country coach, Chris Grover, to announce the nominations to his team.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. I'm definitely excited to announce what we feel is perhaps the strongest USA cross-country team to the Winter Olympic Games in modern history, if not ever. At the same time, I want to applaud the efforts of many athletes who have worked extremely hard and have been extremely dedicated and may or may not have made this team, but the efforts of those athletes have pushed everyone else along in U.S. cross-country skiing as strong as it is today. Our team for the 2014 Winter Olympics will include 7 women and 7 men for a total of 14 athletes. The women will be led by veterans, Olympic veterans, such as Keegan Randall and Elizabeth Steven, and the men will be led by Olympic veterans like Andy Newell, Jimmy Hamilton, and Chris Freeman. I do want to say that part of the reason for our excitement this year is that we go back 4 years to 2010. Going into those Winter Olympics, we hadn't had, as a program, any World Cup podiums leading into those games. This year, 4 years later, we're in a different place. We've had 4 World Cup podiums and wins going into this Olympics, and we've had 4 wins and World Cup stage podiums as well going into this Olympics. So I feel like we are coming in with a lot more momentum, and we're excited to see what we can do in Sochi. On to the nominations. On the women's side, Keegan Randall, Elizabeth Steven, Sadie Bjornsson, Jessica Diggins, Sophie Caldwell, Ida Sargent, and Holly Brooks. Those are our 7 women. On the guys' side, Andrew Newell, Simeon Hamilton, Noah Hoffman, Chris Freeman, Torin Kuss, Eric Bjornsson, seven men. And depending on what Margo wants to do, I guess we can open it up for questioning.
Yeah, thanks for that, Chris. At this time, I would like to open up the call for questions from the media.
At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. Again, that is star one to ask a question. Our first question comes from Mary Jo Brazillery with Seattle Times.
Hi, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Doran Kuss is maintaining with the team, and he was cut from the national team squad a couple of years back. Can you discuss what went into your decision putting him on the Olympic team this year?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we, you know, in the U.S. here, we have one of probably the most transparent, open, and probably fair selection criteria of any cross-country team in the world, I would surmise. And, you know, so our criteria was published in 2012, and it lays out very clearly what the objective criteria is for making this team. And the first part of the objective criteria involves World Cup performance and basically selects any athlete to the Olympic team who is ranked in the top 50 in the world as of January 12th. And that involves 10 athletes. So we had 10 athletes make that first objective criteria. Second objective criteria goes on fifth world ranking. And Torin did not make the first criteria, but he did make the second criteria, and that's why he's on this team.
Can you talk a little bit about what he brings to the team and what event he'll be skiing or events?
Yeah, Torin, right now, Torin is only skiing the freestyle sprint. He qualified as a sprinter. He has not participated in many, if any, distance races this year. If we do have spots open up in a distance race because an athlete is sick, for example, we will certainly consider Torin as an alternate, but right now he comes as a sprinter.
And what does he bring to the team?
You know, Torin.
He's a veteran guy.
He's a veteran for sure. This will be his fourth Olympic Games, so he brings a lot of tactical experience in sprint, and you know, I'm hoping he can recapture a bit of his form from past seasons.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Matt Hurst with Anchorage Daily.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Matt.
So, as far as the athletes who are not, like, qualified based on the objective criteria, when you're deciding who to take and how many of those athletes you're going to bring, can you talk a little bit sort of generally about what goes into your thinking there?
Yeah, we've been explaining to athletes and their coaches from the get-go that our plan for this Olympics was to only bring athletes that we are planning on starting. And with seven women and seven men, we have our start positions filled. We're not bringing athletes that we are not planning on starting. So with our positions filled, seven and seven was the magic number for us.
And so, I mean, is it fair to say that right now all the athletes that are named to the team, you have them kind of penciled in for at least one race?
Absolutely.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Roxanna Scott with USA Today.
Hi, Chris. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you'll choose the women's relay and when we might know who's on that. And also, if you could also tell me a little bit about what your expectations are for Chris Freeman.
Yeah, so questions. On the relay, we never decide those relays until the days leading up to the actual event, as well as sometimes the night before the event. And that's because they really depend on who's skiing well at the time. And that's why generally the relays are positioned within a major championships like the Olympics further back in the schedule. It allows teams to see how athletes are skiing towards the beginning of the Olympics and to really, and the coaches to really pick who's skiing well, who's skating well, who's classic skiing well, and to put that team together. So, you know, we never pencil in athletes into relays, either 4x5, 4x10, or team sprints until we get to the games and we see how everybody's health is and how their fitness is. Can you repeat your second question concerning Chris Freeman?
Oh, sure. I just was wondering what your expectations are from him as also being one of the veteran guys who worked hard to meet the criteria to make the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Chris is, like you said, Chris is a veteran. This is just like Torin. This will be his fourth Olympics. He got his start in Salt Lake in 2002. And, from him, we're really hoping that he can recapture a little bit of his form. He's definitely hasn't had the results at the beginning of this year that he's certainly capable of. Of course, Chris has the added challenges of always trying to manage his diabetes and to manage his energy levels, and to combine that with racing is an extraordinary challenge. But this Olympics has an event that has traditionally been Chris Freeman's strongest event, and that's the 15K Classic individual start race. That's a race that Chris has been fourth place in twice in World Championship competition. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do in that particular event.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Rachel Blunt with Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Hi, I'd like to ask questions about the two local athletes that we have on the team. Could you tell me a little bit about how Jesse Diggins has developed over the past 3 years, and what events do you foresee her competing in Sochi?
Yeah, for sure. She's had a meteoric rise. And I don't think anyone could have predicted several years ago that she would be having the type of success that she's having now in both skating and distance events. She's now had top five results in both individual World Cup distance races and individual World Cup sprint races. And so that's really exciting. She's turning into an all-around contender on the World Cup level. Of course, she's a world champion as well, and she's won several other individual World Cup team sprints with Keegan Randall, not to mention being on the podium several times in World Cup 4x5 relay racing. So it's extremely exciting to watch her development and her rise. In terms of the games, we have not identified every race that every athlete is going to be with them, with them. However, we will see her in the skate sprint. We will most likely see her in the women's 30K skate, although that falls at the end of the game, so we're always assessing where people are with their health and their fitness at the end of the games. The women's 15-kilometer skiathlon could also be a strong event for her. And for sure, she's one of those women that is contending for a 4x5 relay spot.
And also, I'd like to ask about Brian Gregg. What did you see in Brian that secured his place on the team, and what are his strongest events?
Brian is definitely a distance skier, and he is a little bit stronger in the skate technique than he is in the classic technique. He will for sure be one of the guys that is in our 50K skate at the end, the last event of the Olympics. He will most likely be starting the men's 30-kilometer skiathlon as well. He's a guy that really excels in the longer distance races. And we have some excellent sprinters on the team, but we needed to balance those sprinters with some good long distance guys.
Thanks so much.
A pleasure.
Our next question, Peggy Shen with USA.org.
Hi, Chris. I had a similar question about local athletes in Vermont, Sophie and Ida.
Sure.
Kind of, could you talk about, you know, Sophie seems to have had a meteoric rise this season, too, and if possible, you could speculate on what events they will be competing in.
Yeah, sure. And of course, I'll for sure preface this with saying that none of these, none of these event selections are by any means set in stone. We have another World Cup coming up in Toblach, Italy, coming up February 1st and 2nd. We will be using those races to identify the athletes for events kind of at the last minute before going into the games, because they give us some of the best feel for where people are in terms of their fitness and their speed immediately preceding the game. So the process really isn't over in terms of identifying who's going to go where. But to talk about those two athletes, you know, excellent story on both of those, both of them recent Dartmouth College grads, both of them have come out of school, trained really hard, and begun to bridge the gap up to World Cup racing. And, you know, as you mentioned, Sophie Caldwell has had an extraordinary season, a breakout season, if you will, breakout in both her distance racing and, in particular, her sprinting. She has made it into the finals now in World Cup sprinting. And, you know, it won't be long for her before she has her first podium in that event. You know, I expect to see that in the next couple of years, because she's really skiing in an incredible way. Ida Sargent also just a really quick rise. And, you know, she just had her best World Cup distance result with ninth place in Poland last weekend. You know, both of those women will be contending for a sprint start, individual skate sprint start in Sochi, but we haven't finalized who that group is. We're extremely strong in women's skate sprinting, and we have, seven athletes on this team that have all scored points in World Cup sprinting. So it's still not finalized, but that's an event that there's a good chance you'll see one or both of those athletes in that race. Both of these women are also very strong distance classic skiers, so I expect to see one or both of them in the 10K individual classic. We also have classic spots available in relays. We have classic spots available in team sprint. So at this point, those are for sure not decided yet, but there's going to be a lot of opportunity for racing for both of them.
Okay, thanks.
Our next question, Joe Morris-Hillary with Seattle Times.
Hi, I wondered about Sadie Bjornsson. I know you haven't finalized things for the relays, but I know her strength is classic. But she's also scored well she scored in other events too. So, given what you've said about the Northeast folks, where does she fit in with as far as what events
yeah.
she's going to be skiing?
Yeah, well, you know, of course, Sadie had a really exciting start to the season with a pair of seventh place World Cup Classic individual distance results, and those were breakthrough results for her. Those were her first top tens, I believe, in distance, and just a massive, massive step up. So, of course, you know, we'll be looking to her for a start to be started. starting in that 10K individual classic, which falls kind of towards the front end or the first half, rather, of the games. She's also had some incredibly fast sprint qualifiers this year that actually place her, rank her as one of the fastest women in the world. I believe she's something like 13th in her ranking in the world right now in sprint fist points. So, you know, that's the individual skate sprint could also be an event for her as well. However, she's had the flu for the last 2 weeks. She's better, but she was not able to compete in Czech Republic. She was not able to compete in Poland. So we really haven't seen her, and it was heartbreaking for Sadie because here we were in those two venues with events between classic distance skate sprint and classic team sprint that were really some of her best events, and she wasn't able to start them. So we haven't got a chance to measure her performance since before Christmas. So we'll need to see how things go in Toblach and then assess at that point.
And can you talk a little bit about her brother too, Eric, and the events that he might race in and the thinking that went into placing him on the team?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's an exciting young athlete. He's still a U23 athlete. In the next week, he's going to be heading over to Val di Fiemme, Italy, for the U23 World Championships, which is certainly the focus of his season, has been performance there at the U23 World Championships. He is an exciting athlete, much like his sister, in that he's extremely versatile. He does it all. He's a really fast sprinter, and he's a great distance skier. He just won his second national title in 15K, in 15K Classic 2 weeks ago at Soldier Hollow here in Utah. So he's the kind of athlete that will potentially have a lot of starts in Sochi because he will most likely be an athlete that we have in the individual sprint, and he will certainly be starting some distance races for us as well.
Thanks. We've got time for about one more question for Chris.
Our next question comes from Matt Hers with Anchorage Daily.
One more was for the athletes that didn't get named, it sounds like you had talked to some of them or some folks from the U.S. ski team did. I mean, can you say generally, I mean, who did you guys talk to, and can you describe what those conversations are like, you know, generally?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I've notified via email last night. We had our team approved last night. And some of these athletes are in Europe and some in the U.S., and I've notified all the ones that were basically, you know, within the top 10 of the ranking, but just on the wrong side of the selection. And, you know, some athletes knew it was coming for sure. I mean, they knew that everyone had seen the points list yesterday. And so everyone could basically look through the points list and figure out approximately where they were. And, these guys were disappointed, but some of them took it with some great grace. Took the disappointment with some real style for sure. There's a couple athletes that were right on the edge that are extremely, extremely disappointed. And I, you know, from the U.S. ski team staff side, we understand, very well what a hard position that is. Be on the bubble of making an Olympic team. Be on the bubble of achieving perhaps what your dream is. To have worked for 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, try to make a team, and then to have fallen short. And in some of these athletes' cases, they came so close to making it, but they didn't quite have the results. They didn't quite have the fist points to jump over another athlete that did make the team. So those have been, they're hard conversations, and because we were just had our team, just saw the points for the first time yesterday and just had our team approved last night, there will be more of those hard conversations or difficult conversations today and in the days to follow.
Okay,
is it a state? Oh, sorry. Can I ask?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and finish with the last question.
Is it fair to say that you guys? I mean, you know, you were filling sort of slots for each race. I mean, is it fair to say that you guys went sort of straight down off of the list you had available to you?
Yeah, we tried to, you know, we really tried to do it and to apply the selection criteria in the most fair way possible. And that becomes for sure a challenge, and that especially on the men's side, when you get down to the sixth, seventh, eighth guys, you're really splitting hairs because the fist points are quite close at that point. And because they were so close, it became extremely hard to use discretion, and we opted not to use discretion because we would have had to use discretion to elevate one athlete who was marginally worse points over an athlete that had marginally better points. So it really wasn't a fair way to do it. And it's obviously super exciting for those athletes who are on the right side of that cut, and heartbreaking for the ones that were on the outside of that cut, and we certainly recognize that.
Okay. So fair to say, is discretion at all?
We use no discretion to name this team.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks so much. I'd like to thank Chris for his time today, and let him sign off here while we shift gears to Nordic Combined. And Dave, are you on the call with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much, Chris, for your time.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, great. Now I'd like to introduce Head Nordic Combined Coach Dave Jarrett to give an overview of his team and run through the nominations. Dave?
Thanks for having me. And yeah, it's an exciting time. We have a good mix of veterans, starting with Todd Lodwick, who had a training injury or competition injury a couple weeks ago. We're hoping that he's going to be able to recover and contribute to the team. He's going to become a six-time Olympian, which is a pretty exciting feat in and of itself. There's one thing that he really wants is another medal at the Olympics, more than just being a six-time Olympian. And so, it was a tough decision with the injury, but we feel that if anybody can recover from his injury, Todd can do it. And so we're putting faith in that, and looking to maximize his recovery in every way possible. Second guy, we have the defending Olympic champion, Bill DeMong. What can you say? He was awesome in 2009 and 2010 and has been pretty good since then, but has, really started bringing the juice here in the last few weeks and moving forward to Sochi. We're done with World Cup competitions until the Olympics, and he finished strong in Seyfeld last weekend. Had some really good jumps. Unfortunately, all of his really, really good jumps were in the trial round or in training, but everything is there, and now it's just a matter of executing in the Olympics. Taylor Fletcher's returning for his second Olympics. He was a young guy in 2010, and since then, he and his brother Brian have begun to fill the void that Todd and Bill and Johnny are going to leave and have started to leave. But both he and Brian have done a tremendous job, and Taylor's probably one of, if not the fastest guy on the World Cup consistently. And it's a matter of him really just letting everything go and going forward on the jump to put himself in a position for the race, because we know that he can come from not win the jumping to be a medal contender. And Brian is, had a really disappointing 2010. He didn't get named to the team. His our best guy since 2010, since that 2010-2011 season. Consistently, he's been our best guy, and he used the disappointment in 2010 to refocus and re-energize and be really focused, determined, and successful athlete in these 4 years. And he just came off the last weekend in Fayetteville last weekend with the triple, finishing fifth overall, and having awesome races and beginning to find the jumping form that he's had in the last 2 or 3 years. That combine that now with his more improved cross country skiing, he's definitely a threat.
Okay, thanks for that, Dave. At this time, I would like to open up the call for questions from the media.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star key followed by the one on your touch. Our first question is Chad with Inport.
Hi, Dave. Am I on?
Hey, I'm.
I was just, correct me if I'm wrong, was the United States in a position to take five? And tell me a little bit about why we are not taking five.
It's a good question, and it was going to be razor thin. The quota sponsor allocated via World Cup results from last season and up until last Sunday of this season. And at the end of the qualification period, we didn't have the spot that Johnny scored points in last year wasn't enough to qualify a fifth spot, and none of our B-team guys have scored World Cup points, so we were just on the, 56th place, and they took 55, and I knew it was going to be razor thin,
yeah.
And it was within a couple points here and there, but it's just the way that it shook out, so that we have four spots, and that's what we got to go with.
But just a little quick follow up on that, and then I'll sign off. But how does that affect with Todd's injury? And could you go into just a brief description of the injury? For those of us who aren't really on top of that, and how does the four spots affect you with Todd's injury as the head coach?
Well, the injuries are never put into the plan on purpose, and Todd, we're not sure what happened with his jump. He crashed jumping, and he dislocated his shoulder, had a non-displaced rib fracture. He's got a few fractures on the tuberosity on his humerus and some, labral tears, and so it's not a little thing by any means. But Todd's been working his tail off since he got home 10 days ago, and we think he's going to be a contributing member for the team event. With that being said, we're not looking at necessarily the first individual event for Todd. Unfortunately. We want to give that as much time as possible to let the fractures heal. We're for the first event on the small hill. We're going to go with our guys that we have entered, and probably Todd won't compete. So we most likely will have to start with three, which is one less match to burn. But that's the cards we're dealt, and that's what we're going to play.
Our next question, Lou Cooter, Adirondack Daily Enterprise.
Hi, Dave. I have two questions for you. I just want to know, this is Billy DeMonk's last Olympics, and I'd like to know, what he's meant, to the team over his career, and also what will it take for him to move up into medal contention?
Well, to answer the first question, Bill is leaving a lasting legacy on our program. I think on the USSA as an organization as well. I mean, he's somebody that has given back infinitely more than he's ever received from Nordic Combined and skiing in general. And he's opened a lot of doors, he's accomplished a lot, and he's set the bar high for the future generations to follow him. And that's what we need. And it's been awesome to be not only a teammate with him, to be coaching him and go through this journey together over the last 20 years almost. And so he's gonna be missed. Absolutely. And like I said before, between Bill, Johnny, and Todd, there's going to be a big that needs to be filled. And the Fletchers have stepped in, and they've started to fill that admirably. But it's, like I said, big shoes to fill. Olympic medalists, world champions. And so it's the bar is set high for our program, and Bill's going to be missed. But he's promised to remain an asset. To answer your second question, in order for Bill, I mean, Bill is close to medal contention now. As you look at the results from last week, he was right there. The podium was within grasp, and it basically comes down to being in position after jumping. I think that's going to be the key. And Bill made tremendous progress to getting back to the jumping form that he was in 2009 and 2010, and I expect some good things from Bill. And I think that if anyone knows how to peak physically and mentally when he really has to, Bill DeMong's one of the best in the world at doing that.
Our next question. Brian
Sherman, Steve Pilot. Hi. Hey, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about Brian and kind of how far he's come even this season and how he's kind of looking here in the kind of the last legs leading up to the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, Brian's been, like I said before, he's been not making the team in 2010. He's been our best guy, consistently our best guy. And ironically, this season, his jumping has been what's kind of holding him back. And in the past 3 years, jumping has been what his forte has been. And he's starting now to find the form again that he had last season and couple that with improved cross-country skiing to become, a real force to be reckoned with and a legitimate medal contender.
Do you see there, as the team in general, has the jumping been coming along, and what was kind of holding that back earlier in the World Cup schedule?
Well, if I knew that, I would have corrected it.
Okay, sorry.
Jumping is a fickle, thing, and you can lose the feeling really easily, but you can also regain the feeling just as quickly and as easily. We hired a new coach from Germany on the jumping side, and we spent a lot of time trying a lot of new things and a lot of different things. And when you do that, some things are going to work and some things are not going to work. And to Brian's credit and his brother Taylor, they were willing to take a risk and try some things, especially in Brian's case, where he's one of the best jumpers in the Nordic combined field. He was willing to try some new things, some different things that may or may not have worked. And it ended up that maybe those thoughts, those ideas were not in the right way for him. And so we act for what we know works. And now he's gaining confidence and feeling better about things. So, it's hard to put your finger on one exact thing, but we've answered a lot of questions that we had last year that we know now aren't necessarily
further questions. I'd like to thank everyone for their time today, and I'm certainly looking forward to working with all of you in Sochi. And now I'd like to turn it back to Tom Kelly for closing comments.
Okay, sorry, I had mute. I'd like to thank everybody for participating here today. Just a reminder that we have ski jumping coming up this afternoon. That is 3 o'clock Eastern. If you aren't here in Park City to actually attend the press conference, you can tune in on the conference line. And we will also be streaming it live on KSL.com, the NBC affiliate in Salt Lake. And again, we'll get you a further advisory on snowboard cross set for 10 o'clock on noon Eastern on Saturday, and then Alpine on Sunday. Thank you very much for joining us today.